Feedback. How did you feel? Peter. I don't know where the mic is. Vanna. You're a wicked boy. Vanna White. He's calling for Vanna White and she isn't here. Oh, Diana is, though. Diana and White.
At our table, we quickly came to the realization that to pick one or two of these principles was really folly. I mean, it's so obvious that all of them are important contributors to sustainability, and they go as a package and they relate with each other. So that was our brilliant conclusion.
Great. I should add that this is the moral framework that we've implemented at the school, but we've also implemented it as the framework for the work we do in with abused children and youth in Hats Off Specialized Services. Through a process of consultation, the staff have adopted the development of these capabilities as our overarching training program as an organization. So it can be, yes. So that was a statement that it can be applied anywhere. Any feelings, thoughts about the view of it, the looking at it? It's humbling in trying to assess this.
We thought it was non-denominational, and so that sort of made it very useful in public schools that are mandated not to mention the word God or spirituality. So this would be a wonderful way of getting around that limitation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should mention at the school we have people from over 25 countries and a lot of people who don't believe in God. But this moral framework is actually quite unifying in terms of people's commitment. Anyone else want to share any thoughts?
I found that for me it really clarified purpose of really what I'm about and where I'm going. I mean, it's just that immediate focus of the purpose, how to get there, the tools that I need to get there. Mm-hmm. And I was extremely aware that I believe that others feel better about me than I feel about myself.
Uh-huh. Well, that's glad you mentioned that because, in fact, you know, with the students, lots of times you do find that the marks that they give themselves for each, although they're giving the same mark, they're different. And so then that's a great opportunity to say, well, why is that? Are we mentally more critical and hard on ourselves? Or, you know, it's really a good discussion to figure out how we see ourselves and therefore maybe a lot more encouraging in terms of how we can make a greater continuation of that commitment. Somebody behind you. Oh, somebody in front of you.
I didn't press it hard enough. Okay. If I don't have to speak on behalf of the table, that's great. Incapable, it was brilliant. The one that stuck out for me for being just immediately useful, because of course the urgency of the situation is really driving me, and I really liked number two for that. The capability to oppose one's lower passions by focusing on higher purposes and capabilities. So, because some of our lower passions, of course, are for ease, comfort, speed, immediacy, being warm in the winter and very, very cool in the summer, and these things. And it was pointed out that the word by is very useful there, that we're always looking for ways to oppose our lower passions. If we want to quit smoking or whatever, but having a method of doing that. And I'm actually going to hand you the mic because I loved, we had a beautiful suggestion for a number 20.
My name is Deva. That we suggested that perhaps we could come up with a 20th one, which was the capability to understand that we are the environment, that in the words of Chief Orange Lyons, the environment isn't over here or over there. You are the environment. We are the environment. So once we would really understand the indivisibility and the interconnectedness of all that is and the oneness of everything, then that would include the previous 19. Mm-hmm. They're all in one. which I think goes with the first table as well. Thank you.
Susie, want to say something there?
What struck me about the list of moral capabilities is that it doesn't content itself with describing a state of being, but there's a condition of doing that's not just implied, explicit in all of it. And lots of times when you want to take on a project or make a change, if it's not working really well, it's helpful to be able to analyze what's lacking, what's needed, where can I put a little bit more emphasis, and maybe this will get unblocked and moved. And so if I'm having difficulty making a change, it's helpful for me to run through this list and see if there are particular sticking points that I think if I put a little bit more effort into developing a capability there, that I'd be able to get through. So it's like a working tool, not just a state-of-the-art tool.
I remember one of my I have four daughters and one son. One of my daughters once said that she didn't like to communicate in words. You know, she dances and she communicates through dance. And because of one of the capabilities of being able to consult, I said, well, you know, that's wonderful and that's inspiring. But actually, you will have to contribute in word. And and she didn't like that, you know. But in fact, she you know, kind of pushed herself to do that and then actually has developed a lot. So I'm only saying this because I think sometimes these capabilities also provide us courage to know that we have to, like that man said to us at the Sustainable Development, wonderful that you came, but if you don't say anything, you know, then it's difficult to contribute. So there are different ways to contribute, but I think we have to recognize it's through this collective consultation that we're going to build this unity. Sorry. Okay. Two more, and then we'll close with this quote.
We started out looking at them individually and kind of fairly quickly realized that we couldn't separate out anyone. They were too connected with one another. But then there was realized that they could be grouped in certain ways and maybe deal with them somewhat in that way. And we there was also the jump from the self-perception to the perception of others, and how those two are really, you can't really separate in a way. They have to both be there operating together. And one of the comments which really struck me, it's not exactly how it was said by any means, but that one's effectiveness in the community is very kind of tempered or affected by the perceptions and responses of others. And in many, many different ways. And so there's all of the efforts and the barriers and so on interplaying in that. And mm-hmm. and how, so both the individual and the collective have to be changing mm-hmm. for any kind of movement forward.
I'm glad you said that. We have to escape the prison of social convention in order to make change. And at the same time, we have to continue to love humanity and encourage them.
I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the word capability because it infers movement and constant evolution mm-hmm. instead of the right or the responsibility. And also, I was just curious about the application to institutions. Emi Artasen is a famous economist who talks about the capability approach and how removing unfreedoms from societies. So do I have the freedom to clean water? You know, and or not have the freedom, remove that unfreedom. So just wondered about if you've thought about applying this to institutions, and do you think it would work?
Well, I think Duncan actually has a lot of experience in doing that. Many, many non-governmental organizations and governmental organizations and business have been interested in this, and Newer University provided a lot of training, especially in South America. I think it's been the application has been experimental in other places, but it's moved to other continents and other places. So I think it's going to keep becoming a good approach. And the work that I was doing with my agency in the school was really to experiment with what happens when you have a different conceptualization of education. that sees the spiritual or innate or inherent capacity of people. When students walk in and you begin with that assumption as opposed to the other ones, it immediately sets up a different dynamic in the idea that we're developing capabilities. So I think recently there's been a study that was just completed at doctorate level about the school and other schools that are trying this approach, and really identifying that the spiritual and material recognition of the development of individuals is fundamental to the creation of wisdom and in judgment. So I think it's without rooting the concept of wisdom in a spiritual or eternal mode, it's more complicated to try and think about that, because it becomes temporal. And so how temporal it should be is the question, instead of how wisdom should be applied in a much longer view. Well, it's been wonderful to have these comments. And I should say that, you know, we spent 10 days and then more days consulting about just these capabilities, breaking down the capabilities in terms of the skills and concepts, and really developing them, and then also figuring out how they apply and how training would take place in an organization in order to create the kind of change. What it does do is it unifies people in the idea that you don't have to be the concept of expert, somebody that knows everything and is about to impart that, changes dramatically, because in fact we believe that we have to have a concept of discovering together and creating a civilization that is new and different than it ever has been before. And unless humanity's run out of imagination and intuition, as well as the revelation and guidance from God, then we should be able to continue to make significant advancements if we are broad about that. Just want to close with this quotation. Religion as the basis of civilization and progress. It is becoming increasingly clear that passage to the culminating stage in the millennia long process of the organization of the planet as one home for the entire human family cannot be accomplished in a spiritual vacuum. Religion, the Baha'i Scriptures aver, is the source of illumination, the cause of development, and the animating impulse of all human advancement, and has been the basis of all civilization and progress in the history of mankind. It is the source of meaning and hope for the vast majority of the planet's inhabitants. And it has a limitless power to inspire sacrifice, change, and long-term commitment in its followers. It is therefore inconceivable that a peaceful and prosperous global society, a society which nourishes a spectacular diversity of cultures and nations, can be established and sustained without directly and substantively involving the world's great religions in its design and support. Thank you very much. That is from a statement on religion and development, the one that I was afraid to give out at the Sustainable Development Conference. It's on the Baha'i International Community's website, so you can get it on there. www.bic.org.
Well, thank you so much. I know that I don't have to give him a copy of Arthur Dahl's book, because he has one. And really, I think that the book that I would like to offer you has yet to be written. So I extend to you the gauntlet, Gord, to please go ahead and write that book on the development of moral capabilities. Such that the next time we have the good fortune of not only hearing you speak and being edified and inspired and enjoy the humor of your presentations, if it's really as enjoyable as today's presentation, I'll even get the author to sign a copy for you. Thank you. Friends, this brings to an end our formal part of this conference, but we have a special treat this evening. And the Ottawa Baha'i Community and Faith in the Common Good Ottawa have organized an ancillary event to this event that will start at 7:30 tonight at the Bronson Center. And this is an event that is called One Planet, One People, One Common Cause, a celebration on the environment. And it is going to feature several artists. We had an intimation today with Rosemarie. We have Marty Quinn, who's come up, who will be performing the Climate Symphony. We heard an inspirational presentation today, and we will have the Otesha Group performing. And we will also have the Faith in the Common Good, and I got to get this right, the Green Sacred Space Awards ceremony. So you're all invited to come and join us at the Bronson Community Center, which is 100 Bronson, 211 Bronson. Now, some people here have asked if there's transportation, and so I would like to ask, are there people who could volunteer to make arrangements to help drive some people over to the event at an appointed hour? So if you have a car and would be willing to provide that service, could you just raise your hand? And those friends that require a drive, could you contact that person? Okay, we have two hands that have come up, so please find each other. Thank you very much. To tomorrow morning. Yeah, it is about a 20-minute walk from here. The tomorrow morning, the session will start at 8:30 for those that wish to attend the annual general meeting of the International Environment Forum. This is open, so if you would like to come and attend, and if you're interested in becoming a member of the International Environment Forum, please join us at that time, right here, at 8:30, and the conference session will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning. And there will be coffee in between the meeting of the International Environment Forum and the beginning of this conference. I have one last thing that I'd like to share with you. Yes. The annual general meeting of the International Environment Forum is open to anyone who is interested. And you are all welcome to come. You're also all welcome to become members if you so desire. We received a gift today, and I'd just like to share it. One of our participants, Beth McKenty, is from Nunavut, and she brought several copies of a poster, and I just wanted to share this with you because this is an individual initiative that she's undertaken, recognizing the conditions of the children and junior youth in that community. And this is a project that began as an individual initiative, really as a response to a human condition, as an act of love, in the spirit of service, for the sake of service. And this initiative is called the Arctic Youth Art Initiative. And basically, she invites these young people and children into her home and offers them hospitality and a caring environment and a nurturing environment to explore art as a form of expression. And so she's created a poster of several of the children and junior youth's art. And she has very lovingly donated several copies of this, which we will be giving to our speaker. So Gord actually will get a copy of this to take home. So thank you, Beth. This is really a wonderful gesture on your part. And we wish you every success with the continued service to those youth. Thank you. That's the end. So we'll see you tonight at 7:30 at the Bronson Center. Thank you.